So we're starting a new series. I know. Can you put it on blank screen real quick? People are too focused by this picture, which I'm going to talk about in a second. We're starting a new series called Ready, Set, Go. Our whole desire as a student ministry is we know that you're only here. If you're here with us your entire high school career, you're only here for 4 years, which really isn't that much time in the whole of life. Or you might be coming here for a little bit and leave. Our desire is that you're here with us the whole time. And as you're here for 4 years, we want to equip you to be ready to then be set, then to leave here. And in tandem with your family and your parents, to be able to go off into school, into college, into your career, into whatever it is for you after high school, and be able to live your faith out. Like, that's why we do everything we do here. Like, we don't do it just because we want to have fun, just because we need jobs. Like, we do it because we really want to equip you to be able to live your faith out. So, like, that whole scene with Paul Blart, he's training that guy. He's training him to be the mall cop. And it's kind of funny, but it's true. Even for Paul Blart, he knew that this guy needed to be trained. Now, you can go to that picture. I played Fortnite for the first time this past week. Yes. Yes. Thanks to Joseph Scambotti. He was over at my house and we set his Switch up down in my basement and we were playing Fortnite, and that's who I was. That was my character. This guy right here, the Santa guy. He was my character. And I was terrible. Like, I was absolutely terrible. It was sad. But I was playing with Abby and Aaron Osborne also online. That's cool, okay? So we're playing. And I did end up getting 3 kills, only because in one game I had a rocket launcher. So I was just shooting rockets anywhere I could look at. I'm like, you're on my team, I don't care. You're not on my team, here we go, rocket. So it was fun, played Fortnite. But one thing I realized about Fortnite is I was used to, like, you call me old, but I was really used to Halo. That's the one game I did kind of play when I was in college. And the thing with Halo is, like, when you get in the game and it starts, like, you're right in the action. Like, there's people almost always, especially if you're in a smaller map, you're ready to shoot right then, it's the game on. But I realized with Fortnite, you're, like, sailing in with this bus. Why is there a bus up there? But there is, and it, like, floats you in, and you fly down. And then you get into the game, and it's, like, 10 minutes before you start. You're, like, whacking everything, getting wood and stone, and you're picking up all these guns and all this stuff. And it's, like, so, like, finally, 15 minutes into the game, you're ready to go, and then, boom, you're dead, and I'm out of the game. I'm like, this game sucks. I am not playing this anymore. What's the point of this? 15 minutes, and then you're finally shooting somebody. So, but I say all that to say, what I realized about Fortnite is, to do well in that game, you have to equip yourself. You will not do well if you don't know where the good weapons are, if you don't know where the good, I don't know, you get these drinks, and you drink them, and you get health. Like, I'm trying to figure all this stuff out. Like, if you don't know where all the good stuff is, if you don't build the supplies up in the game, you're going to stink and you're not going to do well. So you had to do well in that game, you have to be equipped. And today, I'm talking about this idea of what would it look like to be fully equipped as a Christian? What would it look like to be fully equipped as a follower of Christ? So there's two things. One, in the game itself, you actually have to find the right materials, you got to find the right weapons to be able to do well. But the second thing is, we needed someone else there with us. Like, we need each other. We need people that have been there before us to help us be fully equipped. And so I had Joseph with me, who has played Fortnite before, and he helped me get better and do well. So this idea of being fully equipped, though, I'll bring it to, like, real life for you. Sorry to tell you, but Fortnite's not real life. I'll bring it to real life for you, though. My grandfather, who passed away when I was in college, he was a World War II veteran, and he was in the Pacific Theater. He was in Manila at one point, and I found out this story one time, because when I was at his house, he was showing me some of his old war memorabilia. He would talk to me about it quite often, and one time he had these boots, and he said, yeah, these are from the soldiers that were at Manila. And I was like, well, why do you have their boots? He's like, we surprised them so much, so quickly, that they left everything and just ran because they weren't ready. They weren't equipped. They weren't prepared for war. So we had their boots and some of their old uniforms because they weren't ready. And so for us, and I think a lot of us are like, well, we kind of, like, I mean, be honest, like, some of us have some hard things, but in the same time, like, sometimes I think we live in a fairy tale world, like, everything's just going to be fine, and then when life hits us, we're like, well, what happened? Well, it's because we weren't equipped. We weren't ready. We weren't ready to fight the battle. So, again, our desire as really a church, but specifically as a student ministry, is to equip you, to give you the opportunity to be fully equipped to leave this student ministry and live out your faith and confidence. But here's the deal. The key word that I used there was give you the opportunity. If you don't take the opportunity to be equipped, to take in, to apply, learn God's truth, it doesn't mean anything. So it's like today, what are you going to do when you're sitting in your seat? Are you just here to have a good time and goof around and be on your phone and see your friends? Cool, fine. When life hits, though, you're going to be wondering, I wish I would have listened. Example is, I was in this class in Romans in my undergrad, and I knew that I didn't know that much about Romans, but I thought it would be cool just to sit on my computer and like look up stuff most of the class. So then I passed the class. I got like a C or a B in it. I'm not encouraging this by any means. I passed the class, but I totally look back now and I'm like, that was one of the best teachers at Liberty that everyone said, and I didn't take advantage of it. And I'm like, that was such a waste of time. I could have had fun and still listened and learned a ton about Romans and a ton about God's truth, but instead, I missed the opportunity. So my encouragement to you is take it in, be equipped, listen, hear God's truth, hear God's word. But here's the deal. To be fully equipped, listen, this is what I want to say to you. Oh, and by the way, there's note sheets on your table. There's no blanks. They're just for you to take any notes that you want to. And for some of you that have a hard time concentrating, and so you're sitting on your phones, you probably will want to get off your phone, and you can doodle on there, and it'll actually help you concentrate. So, yeah, that's you, bro. Being fully equipped, write this down, does not mean you need to know every single answer to every single situation. Being fully equipped doesn't mean you need to know every single answer to every single situation. But you're equipped with the tools to be able to handle every situation. I'll say it again. Being fully equipped doesn't mean you need to know every single situation, but you are equipped with the tools to be able to handle every situation. Does that make sense? Well, there's no way here at the student ministry that we could give you every single situation you're ever going to face in life. But we can give you the tools that allow you to handle the truth, the knowledge, the wisdom through God's word to be able to handle every situation in life. I'll give you a couple examples here. So let's see if the clicker works now. It doesn't. Come on, clicker. You hate me. You never want to work for me. There you go. Okay. That is called a walk behind mower. Okay. Now, when I give you guys a lot of examples from the grounds crew because there's just a lot of examples from it. I had to learn to drive one of these things. I had never used one of these things before. But they're really powerful machines because like they got hydraulics on them. They got three blades sitting in there. So when I can still remember, they took me out to this really wide open field, and they're like, "Okay, we're going to teach you how to mow." So they start teaching me, and I'm learning. I'm working on it for a couple days, and then I can remember the day that they finally, okay, here's what you need to mow. We're not going to be around here anymore. You know, they taught me all the different controls. They had helped me kind of handle some different situations. But mainly it was on flat ground. Now, if you know anything about Liberty, some of you went for Seafall recently, you know that there's a lot of hills around Liberty. Like, it's a hilly place. So they send me to, like, the freaking steepest hill on Liberty's campus. And they're like, all right, go mow that. So, but I really was just supposed to mow the top. So I'm riding around the top. And all of a sudden, I lose control of this mower. And this thing is just going down the hill. I didn't know what else to do. I just let go of the mower and just let it go all the way down the hill. And I'm like looking around, did anybody see this? I hope nobody saw it. So all that to say, I wasn't fully equipped, but they gave me the opportunities to learn and to grow and know how to do it. And then by the time, you know, I was a year into it, I could mow anywhere on campus. It's the same thing they do in the military. The military, you go to boot camp, you got a picture of boot camp, they can't walk you through every single situation that you're going to handle when you go into combat. But they can take you through a ton of stuff and give you a ton of knowledge and help you to be able to handle and face any situation. That's what the military does. They want to be able to get you to the point where you are trained and fully equipped to be able to handle any situation that comes to you. Another example is this, financial peace. If you can click to that next slide. This is such a great thing for Wendy and I. When we first got married, like if you ever take, hey, who's taken financial peace before? Got anybody in here? A couple people? Okay. If you have it, it's really good. For Wendy and I, They tell you there's two people in a marriage usually. You have your spender and you have your saver. And Wendy is definitely the saver, and I'm definitely the spender. And so when we took this class, it helped me to learn who I was, what Wendy was like, and it equipped us with the tools to be able to handle our finances well. And I feel like it was such a great thing for us. Now, they couldn't walk us through every specific situation that ever happened, but it gave us some really awesome tools to do that. I'll give you one more example of being this idea of fully equipped. The next example is that of our mission teams. This was a team that went to Austin 2 years ago. Yes, it was a sweet trip. And, you know, the whole idea with mission teams is we want to walk with you in life. We want to help you grow. We want to help you be able to know Christ and make him known. So we're going to take you to things like the Herndon Festival to have some conversations with people. We're going to walk you through the book of Colossians. What's it like to study Colossians? We're going to walk you through all this different stuff so that when you're done, when the trip's over in the summer, it's not really over. It's just like, hey, I've got this training. I've been equipped with some awesome things. I know God's truth. Now let me go out and live it. This idea of being fully equipped. So here's the question I want you to think about today. That I want to, if you can go to the next slide, is this. Do you want to handle life, or do you want life to handle you? Do you want to handle life, or do you want life to handle you? Because the reality is, sometimes life's really good. Sometimes life's really hard. But if we desire to be fully equipped, instead of life handling us, we can handle life because we do it in God's strength. So, I think it would honestly be silly if you told me, I want life to handle me. And what I mean by that is, if life handling you is, you really have no set path of where you're going, really no kind of way you live. You just sort of go with whatever happens, whatever the next fad is, whatever the world may be telling. It's a lot of different things. That's life handling you. And it doesn't turn out well. If you told me that's what you wanted, I would say you're stupid to want that. So if you could know how to handle life with God's truth, why would you not listen? Why would you not listen if you could know how to handle life with God's truth in every situation? Why would you not listen? So the question, the next part is then what you need is the right equipping in life, the true equipping and the good equipping that comes from God's word. And the Bible has the answer to every question that life will throw out. I truly believe that. I've seen that in my own life. The Bible has the answer to every question that life may throw at you. So the hard part, though, is for you right now, you kind of don't totally see the need to be equipped from life because you're sort of in like this quasi-responsible area of life where like, well, I have some responsibility, but not really. And so it's kind of like, I feel like life's fine. My parents take care of most things. I maybe have a little bit to take care of over here, but it's really not a big deal. And so my encouragement to you is take this in today. Take these truths and learn them so that when it comes, like you have full-on responsibility that you can actually be ready to handle life. But think about it like this. What if you were equipped to handle relationships and friendships better? What if you were equipped to handle college, what choice you're going to have in college or what you're going to do with your life? What if you were equipped to handle worldview issues like abortion and gender identity and sexuality and war? Like, what if you had the ability to handle all those situations a lot better? Well, you do from God's word and his truth. So, kind of tagging off this, do you want life to handle you or do you want to handle life, is this question. What if you could flourish instead of being sucked dry? So if you can go to that next slide, it should be a picture of a tree. And it's Psalm 1, 1 through 3. It's kind of hard to see up there. But it says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. That's the kind of life that God wants for you. It's not a life of prosperity, of getting whatever you want, but it's the fact that you don't wither. That tree that is planted by that stream of water, that stream is always having water running through it. Therefore, that tree always has the ability to get nutrients, to get life to it, so it's going to provide life to those around it. That was a fruit tree. It would provide good fruit, and people could eat from it. It provides good shade in the summer when it's really hot. That's the kind of life that God says, I want you to live. I want you to be fully equipped so that you can provide life to others around you. Not just so that when he says, whatever you do will prosper, it's not just so that it'll prosper so that you can prosper. It's so that as you prosper, other people are blessed through it. But when I'm talking about this sucked dry life, be honest, I see some of you and I see myself a lot of times, we are so sucked dry by life, by school, because we put a lot of pressure on ourselves, by sports, because we kind of want to make it to the next level. We're sucked dry by video games because we think they're going to somehow give us life. These things are sucking at relationships. They suck us dry. And if you had to take an evaluation of your life and say, is my life giving life to anybody else? That's a question for you to think about to yourself. Is my life giving life to anybody else? Well, this really comes along with a promise, these verses. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, who doesn't follow the wicked things of the world, but he, the man that follows you, is like a stream planted by water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. God wants you to be fully equipped. And so really being fully equipped is not, again, it's not having every single answer to every single situation, but it's having the knowledge to handle any situation. So the first point is this. The first key point to be fully equipped is I have to hear from the Lord. I got to hear from the Lord. And what that means is meditation in God's word that speaks. Meditation in God's word that speaks. Now, that sounds kind of deep, but it's just the ability to hear from the Lord. It's ability to be able to listen to him. And really, just like any other relationship that you have in life, we have to be able to listen. So with Wendy and I, we live in the same house. We talk every day. You know, usually we talk about stuff that like is life stuff. Okay, what's our schedule? What's the day been like? It's not always like massively earth shattering, but we have to stay in this like constant communication of life, of what's going on, what's happening. And then there's times though, both in the easy and the hard times, that she really speaks to me in a way that I can hear from her, and it speaks life to me, and I get to speak life to her. And so, yeah, like when you're thinking about reading God's word, like there's going to be a lot of days where it's like, yeah, I read some truth in here. Like it was good. Like I hear from the Lord, but it's not going to be earth shattering. But then there's going to be some days where, man, like you've been consistently in God's word and something hard in life's coming up. And then all of a sudden you read the scripture and it's like, oh my gosh, like I don't know fully what just happened, but there was something about that scripture that I just read that spoke to me really powerfully, and it motivated me to live in a different way than I was before. So it's that same way for with Wendy and I in marriage. We have this all the time communication, and there's sometimes this communication where I'm really hearing for her and she's really hearing for me. In the same way in God's word, we're consistently walking with him, hearing his truth, and there's sometimes when it really speaks to us. It's really God's word, me hearing from him is letting God be my counselor, speaking his word to me. Letting God be my everyday counselor. Like where, what if you could have somebody with you all the time that whatever situation you were in, you could ask them and they would give you the perfect wisdom on how to handle that situation in life? Who wouldn't want that? Now, like maybe they weren't like a physical person because that'd be kind of weird. But like think if you just like had this little like thing implanted in your brain, it's like every time you asked it, it would give you the right answer to how it was to perfectly handle every situation. That'd be awesome. I would love that because I don't know how to handle every situation. But I think that's God's word. I think that's the Holy Spirit. As we know his truth and we rely on him, we say, God, will you speak to me? We hear him and he guides us through in life. If you can go to that first verse, Hebrews 4:12. Here's what Hebrews 4:12 says. For the word of God is living and active. Get it? Living and active. It's actually living. It's actually speaking to you. It's not just words on a page. There is something living about this thing that is God's word because God is alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Pierces to the division of the soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. See, it's not just like when you read a book. So I discovered, man, this has been the bomb, okay? I discovered audiobooks. You guys, what do you mean? It's books, that's audio. They read it to you. Cut. That hurts. That hurts. No, I mean, I just was like, I don't really like reading. And someone was like, this book is really good. You should read it. I'm like, the chance of me reading this is really bad. Then what I found though, because I like finding good deals, I found this thing called Hoopla. Who's heard of Hoopla? Anybody? Yes. You can just get a library card free. Not really. You pay for it by your taxes, but you get a library card. And then you sign up on Hoopla and you get 7 free audiobooks, right? So I've been, who's heard of the book Love and Respect? I figured I'm married. I should probably read this book. So I'm getting on audiobook. Great book. Learning a lot of good things. Listening to it. Usually I fall asleep listening to it, kind of like reading a book, but I'm still getting it better than when I would actually read. But the thing about even those books is that they're great, and I'm learning some great knowledge, but I can tell you, as I've been in God's Word for about 8 years of my life, solid, nothing speaks like God's Word to me. Nothing is a counselor to me like God's Word, because it's living and active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. It pierces the bone and marrow, but get this, it discerns the thoughts and intentions of the heart. God's Word can show us what we really want, what we're really thinking, our true attitudes. If you can go to the next verse, 1 Thessalonians 2:13, and we also thank God constantly for this, that when you were received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. See, back then, Paul was realizing, these aren't just words on a page. These are real. These are living, these are active, these are speaking truth. So this is what meditation really is. I think it's on the next slide. Meditation is really just thinking spiritually. I mean, if you want to boil it down to something, it's thinking spiritually. It's thinking as God desires us to think. So when we meditate, when we read God's word, it's that we stay in God's word long enough that it speaks to us. Like if we're, I mean, just be honest, if we're only in it for like 2 minutes and we're like, okay, I read my verse, I'm good, check off the day. I mean, I think that's solid. Like, that's a good thing. But as we, you know, sometimes when we go to a winter retreat or summer camp and you have like these daily devotions every day, all of a sudden God speaks to you, right? You hear things from the Lord. He doesn't verbally speak, but you get these impressions on your heart, on your mind that you know this is from the Lord. It's because you stayed in his word long enough that he could speak to you. And I don't know how long that is. I would say each day for me, being in God's word varies between 20 to 40 minutes. It can be different for you. It could start out with 5. What if you just spent 5 minutes in God's word and let him speak to you? That would be different than the 30 seconds or no time that you were spending in it. And then you got this counselor with you speaking truth to you. So meditation is thoughtful concentration upon God's word. So it's going beyond. It's like if you go, can you go back to that Hebrews verse? If you go back to this verse in Hebrews and you could just read it. Okay, the word of God, it's living and active, I get it. Well, what does it mean that it's living and active? If I have thoughtful concentration on it, I'm thinking, man, what's it mean that it's living? Well, living means that it's not dead. A dead person can't do anything, but a living person can do things. So, man, I guess God's word, like, it's doing something in me. It's active, it's moving, it's working. It's not just sedimentary, it's not just staying still. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. Why would it say it's a two-edged sword? Well, interesting enough, if you think about a two-edged sword, when a two-edged sword penetrates into something, is it cut on one side or two? It cuts on both sides. So it's kind of piercing all the way as it goes through. I'm just trying to, this is thoughtful concentration. And as you start digging into God's truth more, you start to realize, wow, like this had a lot more to say to me than I thought it did when I just quickly read over it. This is on a slide. Writer and philosopher, this guy Edmund Burke said, to read without reflecting is like eating without digesting. So we just read. Who has ever like read a whole page in your textbook and got to the end and been like, what did that just say? I read that, but I did not read that. Who's done that? All y'all. Everybody's done that, right? So if we read, but we never reflect on it, we never think on it, we never think, what does this mean to my life? Then he's saying it's like eating without digesting. When we digest food, it breaks it down and turns it into the energy that we need to live. And in the same way, I believe that the word is spiritual food for us. As we reflect on it, as we digest it, we learn it, we take it in, we apply it, we think, what does it mean? That's how it's converting it into the spiritual energy for us, God being our counselor. I want to show you this verse in Psalms one more time. Psalm 1:1-3 says this. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But it says this, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season. Its leaf does not wither, and all that he does, it prospers. So this is really saying, think spiritually to bring God's word into our everyday thought life. That's what it is. This is really just saying, this guy's just like, dude, God's word is real. His truth, his laws, his ways, they speak to me. It's really just saying, God, I want to take your word into my everyday thought life, because then I'm fully equipped to handle every situation. So here's, think about it like this. You could be here as you are right now on this Sunday morning, and you're hearing a ton of truth. But have you ever known when the summer, when the ground's really hard because it's been really hot, and then we have this huge thunderstorm that comes down? Most of that water from that thunderstorm just washes off. It never actually goes into the soil. It's because the ground was so hard, it needed to be moistened up. It needed to be loosened for that water to go in. And that's kind of what it's like on a Sunday morning, you hearing God's word. And you're getting some in, and it's good to hear, but it's only a little bit. You said, hey, I'm going to be a part of a Wednesday night. Well, all of a sudden, we're kind of helping you dig into God's word more. Like, you're kind of having to answer some questions on it. You're having to think about it more, apply it to your life. That's like a little bit more soaking in. And then if you're like, man, I'm going to give God 10 minutes of my day to read his word. Man, that's like the soil is moist. It's ready to take in his word and his truth. So you see kind of progression there of being able to take in his truth. So being equipped takes practice. Like this is for me what it looks like. This is not a prescription. I'm not telling you this is what you do. I'm just hoping you see from my life. I'm sure all these leaders could tell you if you want to talk to them how they do it. I like to take the mornings. Morning's great for me. I'm not a night person. I'm tired at night. I can't concentrate. I take the morning, has to have a cup of coffee. Second thing is I take a small section of verses, no more than a chapter. Definitely not more than a chapter. I like taking about, sometimes, I'm serious, sometimes 3 verses, sometimes 5. It just depends on what it's like. I like to write the thoughts out that come to my mind, like as I started walking you through that Hebrews verse. And I like to I have a journal. It's like, it's about this size. I just write things down. I just start writing. That's how I have to do it. It might be different from you. You like maybe do it on your phone. I don't know. I'm just trying to give you some idea. But this is how I like to answer these questions, how I meditate. What's the author saying? So I just want to get it, like, what's he trying to say here? I know it sounds stupid, but if you actually write down what he's saying, all of a sudden you start to take it in more. Second thing is, what questions do I have? Okay, I don't understand that. Why did it say that it pierces the bone and marrow? Like, why would he go there? He wasn't talking about anything else with the body. Well, I'm going to ask one of the pastors. I'm going to go research that a little bit. So what questions do I have? And then lastly, how can I apply this to my life? How can I apply this to my life? Can you go to the next slide? I usually don't say this, but if you want to take your phones out and you want to take a picture of this, you can. This is just a bunch of questions to help you if you wanted to study God's word. Like, what does this passage teach me about God? See, these questions help us dig into it more. What does this passage teach me about the church? What does this passage teach me about the world? How does this passage teach me about myself? What about my desires and motives? Does this passage require that I take action? Like, is it saying there's something to do? If so, what action should I take? What do I need to confess and or repent of? What have I learned from this passage that will help me to focus on God and strive for his glory? So there's just some questions you could look at as you read some truth in the word and be able to take it. So let me kind of wrap this part of hearing from the Lord. It's like this. Everybody loves Wikipedia, but sometimes they get things brutally wrong. So like this one, if you go to this next slide, Wikipedia, Ted Kennedy's death, a very high-profile Wikipedia blunder falsely reported the death of Senator Edward Kennedy after he actually did suffer a seizure during his post-inaugural luncheon for Barack Obama in 2009. The Washington Post reports Kennedy's Wikipedia entry was edited at 2:59 to say that he had died by someone who registered on the site under the name so-and-so. Okay, he clearly did not die. But here's the deal. You know why Wikipedia gives you some good stuff? Not totally down to Wikipedia, but the reality is they don't always go to the real source to get their information. So when we're trying to live life by going to things that aren't the source of life, we're going to get wrong answers. We're going to get wrong wisdom. If we go to God and his word to get the wisdom, that's the creator. That's the source. That's the real truth and the real knowledge to live by. So as much as I love YouTube, it's not the answer to all of life. Google is not the answer to all of life questions, but God's truth is. Okay, here's the second thing. If we hear from him, from his word, if we're like, okay, Lord, I truly want to hear from you. I'm not just reading my Bible because I want to check it off the list. Well, the next thing that we got to do is we got to take his word and we got to apply it. We've got to actually obey it and actually apply it. If you can go to the next slide, Hebrews 5:12-14 says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good and evil." What this verse is saying, the person that's mature has said, "I'm going to take God's word and I'm going to obey it. I'm not going to always do it perfectly. I'm not going to always have it down, but I'm going to obey it to the point where I'm learning to go, God, how do I live this Christian life out, Lord? You're walking me through being able to discern, how do I interact in this situation? How do I make this decision?" The mature person is applying and walking out God's truth. It says they're trained, equipped by constant practice to distinguish from good and evil. If we don't ever apply God's word, it never means anything. It's a bunch of great knowledge. So this idea of applying things, if you can go to I think it's the picture up there. So the next one should be a picture. Yeah. That's Joshua when he was like, I don't know, he's like 1.5. I mean, and at this point, he did not know how to use a fork. He used his hands, as you can tell. And so he had food all over his face, all over his clothes, all everywhere. Like, food was literally everywhere. But we had to teach him. We had to equip him. We had to help him apply. We could tell him, "Joshua, we want you to use a fork. You should really use a fork. You'll never have a wife if you don't use a fork." You know, we could tell him all these things, and he'd be like, "I don't care. It's so much easier to eat with my hands. I just want to eat with my hands. I don't care if I'm dirty. Why? Because you guys clean me off afterwards. I don't have to clean myself off," right? But we had to put the fork literally in his hand and help him learn how to eat. Now, he's a little messy, but he is so much better than he used to be because he's learning to use a fork. But we had to help him apply this truth of using a fork to be able to do it. And here's the other deal. I love working on my own cars. I do a lot of work on my own cars. The way that I learn is I go to YouTube, I look up a bunch of videos, I go to these blogs to figure out what the issues are. Now, if I watch all these videos and read all these things, but I never go out and actually work on my car, I've never applied it, I don't really know if I can do it. And a lot of you in here are like, "I know a lot of God's word, but honestly, I've never applied it. I really don't know if it works. I've never trusted him enough to say that I'll actually do it." So how do we know? We know by when we experience it, by when we take it and we apply it. Same with football players. Football players go into the film room. They go to the film room because they want to break the game down before. They want to know, what did I do wrong? What do I need to do in this situation? But if they go back on the field and do the same thing that they did in the film room and don't correct it, well, that's just stupid. They wouldn't do that. They want to take the truth that they have and live it out. In the same way, if you're like, "Man, I want to be a very better anything it may be," and you learn all about this stuff, but you never apply it, then it never means anything. It never equates to action. Philippians 4:9 says this, "What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you." Now listen, there is a promise. Do you get this? There is a promise attached to this action that God has called us to. If you have learned and received and seen in me, if you practice these things, he is giving you a promise that the peace of God will be with you. But we're ultimately sometimes so fearful to step out and obey God, we forget his promise is he'll be with us when we obey it. Just this week, there was someone that came to me and was like, they were convicted by a message that they heard, and God took this truth, and they said, you said some things in the past that hurt me. And I felt like for a long time I needed to come talk to you about it. But I put it off and I put it off. And they ultimately came and we talked about it. And we were able to talk things out. And they left with such a massive peace. Because they said, "Lord," they didn't realize it, but they knew that, "God, I need to obey you. I need to do this thing and I will have peace in my life." There's a promise attached to obeying the Lord. So the word of God gives us the truth, like I talked about. It gives us the knowledge and it gives us the wisdom. But I love formulas. I'm a big fan of formulas. If you can go to that next slide. The Word plus the Holy Spirit plus my obedience equals fully equipped. If you take God's word, and if you take the Holy Spirit who is in you to help you live it out, because you can't do it on your own, if you try to do it on your own, it's just a bunch of good rules. It's not a living relationship with the living God. But if you take the word, the Holy Spirit, and then you obey it, you apply it, that is fully equipped. God can walk you through every situation, anything that happens in this life. Relational conflict, sexual purity, choosing friends, money, all these worldview issues. God can walk you through these things. Now, there's two kinds of, we think about this idea of application. Okay, there's two, when you're working on a car, there's two kinds of maintenance ideas. There's preventative maintenance and there's emergency maintenance, okay? Preventative maintenance, I'm really big into preventive maintenance because it actually, even though it might be a little more work or a little bit of work over a consistent amount of time, I'm preventing a lot of things from happening. I'm going to change my oil every 3,000 miles. I'm going to change the transmission fluid every 50 to 75,000 miles. I'm going to rotate my tires. I'm going to do all of these preventative things so that the bad thing doesn't happen. And then there's the other kind of maintenance is emergency maintenance. That's the maintenance that really sucks and when your parents get mad because their car's broke down and then they can't drive anywhere. So if I let my tires wear down, like this guy, broke on the side of the road. Why? Probably because he let his oil get down way too far. He didn't check it. He didn't change it. And then all of a sudden, his engine ultimately blows up because it overheated. Now he's stuck on the side of the road. When if he would have said, man, well, I'm probably going on this trip. Maybe I should put a little oil in my car. And in the same way, when we look at this preventative versus emergency maintenance in our lives, preventative is I'm every day taking God's word and applying it, even when it's a little hard. I'm letting his truth speak to me. I'm being in community each week where people are talking about God's word, like shepherd group. Like for me, every Tuesday, I have an adult shepherd group that I go to because I need that community in my life. I need that word. You know, if we deal with conflict in a biblical way, if we set boundaries in our lives over a lot of different things, that's preventative maintenance. God's giving us his wisdom to live out, to honestly keep us from some of the harmful things that sin bring. But if emergency maintenance is me going, I'm not going to apply God's word on a regular basis. I don't really care about it. I'm just going to live my own way until what? Life gets so hard enough that now I'm like, now I need you, Lord. Now I really need you. I get caught up cheating, lying, stealing, bad grades, broken relationships. Now I feel terrible, and now I want to do what God says because it's an emergency, and now I'm feeling like things are crazy. If I take God's word and live it out, even when it's hard in the moment, life isn't handling me. I'm handling life with God's word. I take his truth and I apply it. Here's what James 1, 5 through 8 says. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose to receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man. James is saying, if you ask and I tell you what to do and you don't listen to me, you're like this person that's out in the ocean, like this wave being tossed back and forth because I gave you the wisdom, but you're not listening to it. And here's what James goes on in the rest of that chapter, and he says this. You can go to the next slide. He says, but be doers of the word, not just hearers only, deceiving yourselves. He's saying, this is a hard truth. I'm going through this Bible study in James with a couple guys in the youth group, and I always wonder why it says deceive yourselves. Here's a hard truth for today that I'm speaking to myself. If I come on a Sunday morning and think that I have heard from the Lord and I'm good, that's it, I'm done, I have deceived myself. Because he's saying, is all you are is a hearer and not a doer. You have deceived yourself. And that is a trap that Satan wants you to live in. If I just hear it, I'm good. If I just hear it, I'm good. He says, no, I want you to be a doer of the word too, to experience his relationship with the Lord. He says, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he's like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So this idea of a mirror, I've always kind of wondered, why does he say that? I think I got it. If you can go to the next slide. Okay. Now, if that person went to the mirror and was like getting ready for the day and they had their kale chips for breakfast, and then they look in the mirror and they smile and they see this piece of green there and they're like, oh, that's nice. I'll look stupid today. And then they leave and they're good with that being there and they go throughout the whole day. No, they wouldn't do that. They would look in the mirror and they would go, I've got this piece in my teeth. Let me get it out, because they saw what they looked like. And for the same way, if we go to God's word and we hear his truth, we know how it applies to us and what he wants us to live out. But we turn and we say, nah, forget it. I want to go my own way. He's saying that's like the person that looks in the mirror and sees that they have something in their teeth, but says, I'm not going to fix it because I don't care. But you knew the truth and God was speaking about it. So I want to sort of wrap up with this. Which soil are you in? If you can go to that next slide. Luke chapter 8 says, and when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow a seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell on the good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, he who has ears, let him hear. If you can go to the next slide. If you look at this, just to give you kind of a word picture. The first one is the birds of the air. It's like people that hear God's word, but ultimately it doesn't really mean anything to them. It's come and it's plucked right away. His truth never really set in. And then you got the one where it was in the rocks. And so if you've ever seen like grass that grows up in rocks, it's really easily pulled up because it has nowhere for the roots to take in. And so the soil in their life was like, oh, well, this word's kind of cool. Like, I think this thing about Jesus loving me is kind of a cool idea, but ultimately it takes no root in their life, because there was no depth there. They didn't really want to believe it and live it. And so ultimately the sun comes, life comes, scorches it away. The God thing doesn't care. And then this other one is the thorns. And this is the person that they're like, no, like, I get this Jesus thing. I really believe it. But man, they let the cares of this world, whatever it may be, school, sports, life, it chokes it out. The thorns come and choke it out. And therefore that grass can't take root. And then you got the last one. That's the good soul. The person that says, This God, this Jesus thing's real. I want to take this truth in. And I think this can apply to when we read God's word and his truth. Are we in the soil where it can take root and live in our lives? And so the ultimate goal to end today, the ultimate goal of being fully equipped as a follower of Christ is to be able to reproduce yourself. God's like, I don't want you to just live it out just so you're good. He's like, I want you to be fully equipped with my truth so that you can then be equipped to go out and live your life. And this isn't like some huge thing. If you go to the next verse, it's just 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, basically, follow me, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. As you in your life are on a path to follow Christ, others will see that and go, I want to come alongside with you. You're living this thing out. Let's do it together. There's going to be a lot of other people that are like, I don't want to do this thing. And you're like, hey, I'm pray for you. You want to walk with us? Come, I want to walk with me. Let's just do this thing together. Follow me as I follow Christ. So I thought today a way to give you an application was, I got some 30-day Bible reading plans from Winter Retreat. Maybe you didn't start. That's okay. Grab it. Start today. All of them are about desire, where our desires lay. Take an application today. How do you apply today? Start reading God's word. Start answering some of those questions. Take 5 minutes tomorrow. Take 5 minutes today. Take 10 minutes the next day. Let God's word be planted in you and grow up. And I'll tell you this. If you let God's word be planted in you, you will be fully equipped. You will know how to handle every situation with the Lord.